Hallelujah. Well, good morning, church. Who's set for the word? All right, praise God. Past couple of weeks, we've been on a series titled Something Happened. Something Happened. First installment, we talked about forgiven indeed. And last week, we looked at, touched on, considered a good, good father. And in having that consideration last week, we saw how that a faulty view of God, a faulty perspective of God, hinders us from walking in the fullness of that which he has freely provided and given to us in and by Christ Jesus. Serves as a hindrance. We saw how that God, loving and good Father from the beginning, was a provider, and his heart has always been to provide for his children. We also saw how that he so loved the world, the sum total of humanity, that he gave by way of provision his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we come into that life by exercising faith in the person of Jesus and that one perfect sacrifice on the cross. And so by doing that, friends, we're brought into living relationship with the Father of spirits, that is God, brought into union with him, into fellowship with him. Touched on the need to have intimacy in that relationship. How? Looked at three things. One, courage and conviction. Courage and conviction. That is, to see God's word for it truly reveals about who you are in Christ, and to accept that, to believe that, and make that a conviction in your heart. Second, consistency and effort. That is that relationship, in giving yourself over to God in that way. And third, looked at commitment as a relationship. The need to be committed. The need to prioritize the relationship with God above everything else. All right. Today, I'm going to go ahead and speak. This is the third installment. And something I title, Reigning in Life by One. Reigning in Life by One. Let's talk about the book of Romans in chapter 5, verse 17. Romans in chapter 5, verse 17. Before I read, a question this morning. What does that phrase or that clause, without necessarily looking at it right now, as ardent students of God's word, as children of the Most High God, what does it connote to you? What immediately comes to your mind and to your heart when you hear that? Reigning in life. Anyone? Yes.
Ruling in authority.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Yes.
Freedom.
Thank you, Brad. Yes.
That he's placed all things in subjection under our feet.
All right, all things in subjection under our feet. This is great, and which is awesome. But how many know, friends, that it's possible sometimes when you hear that expression or come across that, when you hear reigning in life, immediately, some way, somehow, it's possible we default to ideas and thoughts of, oh, for example, making it in life, having
the good things of life. A good job, position, careers, a fat bank account, a fleet of cars, and so on and so forth, prestige, position in life that kind of puts you in some sort of vantage position or some sort of vantage point. It's possible to consider reigning in life in terms of the world or humanistic viewpoints or thinking here on earth. Reigning in this life. This morning, I just want to show from God's word and share my heart with you how that it's important in our walk with God and our relationship with Him, the need to have God's perspective as concerns all these areas. For example, we know Ephesians 1:3 says He's blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's, you know, it's good to know that. But it's also important to know that it's not just, oh, blessings somewhere in the stratosphere or somewhere that is outlandish you can't reach to. But that's a reality to which you've been called and something you ought to be enjoying right here, right now, in this life, in this world. And so there's an impact. It has an effect on the things of life. Essentially, I'm talking about walking victoriously in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Victorious living. Romans in chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign or will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You can take the next verse. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. And so, friends, the other week we saw how that by one man's offense, many were made sinners. It says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? All have sinned. This scripture is, the Apostle Paul is also saying and sharing here that by one righteous act, by Jesus giving himself or giving up his life for you, not for anything that he did, not for any sins that belonged to him, in a personal way, but for you, because of the great love where he loved you, by that one perfect sacrifice and by faith in that, there's a great exchange whereby you, in turn, not only get forgiven, get delivered, you also receive the righteousness of God. A new life, new nature. And so, in essence, friends, first one I'd like to note this morning is this. Reigning in life primarily speaks of, as you can see this in the Greek, reigning in eternal life. Reigning in eternal life, which has an effect and an impact on your walk here in this world. And we'll see how shortly. First, I'd like to note, it's important to note and to know that eternal life is not just a concept or something for the sweet by and by. Eternal life is not that which you receive after all of a sudden, for whatever reason, mysterious or whatever, you somehow, some way kick the bucket or expire or pass on. Or become very dead, if I may put it that way. That's not something that happens after that point. No, sir, we see from God's word that eternal life is the present actual possession
of the believer. I call that the PAP principle. And we can see that in the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter 5. And this is the record, or if you like, and this is the testimony that God has given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has this life. He who does not have the Son does not have this life. It says, beloved, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know with settled, the Amplified puts it, with settled and absolute knowledge that you have life, yes, eternal life. The Message puts it in this wise, that you may know without a shade of doubt that you have eternal life. The reality of it. The reality of it, not an illusion, not the illusion. Why is this important, friends? You have eternal life now, and I'm saying that eternal life, which is on the inside of you, the life of God, life as God has it, which is the word Zoe in the Greek, Zoe in the Greek, is not something we just possess just for, okay, I just have it, and then I just go ahead and live my life anywhere. No, no, no. It has an impact, has an imprint, has an effect. The blessedness which God has called you to, called me to, is something to be lived out in our experience. It's something to be lived out in our walk here and now. It's something to be richly enjoyed here and now. In what areas? I think Pastor Mike touched on that earlier on. Talk about a salvation package. In what areas? In being forgiven. In being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In being justified. In being sanctified. In safety. In protection. In preservation. In healing. In case I didn't mention that already. All these areas and much more are things we've been called to, and these things should actually punctuate our lives, should be, that's our existence. That's what we've been called to, friends. They're not just realities on the face of the book, on the pages of the book. They're things that actually be lived out in our experience. I'll share this quick one before we continue on this morning. I was driving in this morning, just driving out of the division where we live, and all of a sudden, a car comes across. I'm at the junction at the stop sign. Car comes across in top speed in a residential area this morning and just drives straight into the curb, into the street. Doesn't stay on her lane. There's a lady. Comes face on towards me. And I've never seen this before in my lifetime. All the while she's driving at top speed, her face, she's never actually facing the front. Her face is to the side. She's turning a corner and her face is to the side all through. And then I slammed the horn and it was like it didn't register. And there she did, full speed, the turn coming directly straight at me. I'm hung and I'm saying, Jesus. I've been here almost 10 years now, and I don't think back home in Nigeria, we're used to, if you know what I'm talking about, we're used to the honking. Honky tongue, we blare the thing, all over the place. But this was the first time in this country. I left my palm on there just to get the attention, but no attention. There was a dude walking a dog. I don't know whether that caught her attention, whether it was a dog, whether it was a dude, but she was coming straight at me top speed. And then all of a sudden, I screamed Jesus. I just said Jesus. And I tell you, friends, when she came and then all of a sudden did a curve, I swerved to the side, she swerved this way, and it was this close as far as impact. And then she just... and took off. And I'm just there saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I kid you not, there was palpitations in my heart. I guess my wife is just hearing this for the first time as well. But you are protected. 2 Peter 1:5. You are kept by the power of God. This is the reality to which we have been called in so many areas. And we ought to be taking full advantage. We ought to be maximizing that to which we have been called. It takes something, friends. That to me is how I just see reigning in life. It just means the truth of God's word. Taking God at his word and seeing things from his perspective. Seeing yourself, for example, in the light that God sees you in, based on what he did. Not based on what you did, not based on what you're doing, permit me to say that, but based on what he did. There's a shift, friends, that is necessary in our thinking if we are going to walk in the fullness of the life to which he's called us. Our mindset, our thinking ought to change. When I said, are you reigning in life? I'm asking that question this morning to you personally. Are you reigning in life? Where are you in that walk? Where are you in that journey as far as what he's given to you, what he's placed on the inside of you in relation to your walk? The way to maximize, the way to enjoy, the way to see the manifestation and to take full advantage is by having a shift in our perspective to see yourself in the light of what God has made you, to see yourself in the light of who he is in you. The key to reigning in life is knowing God's heart, friends, and gaining his perspective. We struggle most times in life because we see things from our own perspective. We want to do things our own way. We want to just... And until and unless we see things from his perspective, that struggle will remain. He created us, he made us, and called us into union with himself. Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6, possibly two verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not what? On your own understanding. In all your ways what? Acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will. I like that in the Amplified. It says, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. How about the passion? Hear this clearly, friends. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Another says, listen to God's voice in everything you do. Friends, it's still hopping back to the same point. In order to be able to reign in life, you must gain God's perspective concerning life. Because guess what? Who made the world and everything in it? You must gain his perspective. And in order to gain his perspective, to gain his mindset, to understand and to know his heart, you must tarry. Let me use old King James lingo this morning. In that place of intimacy. Of relationship with the Most High. It's key. It's needed. It's fundamental. Are you reigning in life? As it is, as it was, we sang a song this morning, gazing at his face constantly. Seeing who he is in you, who he has made you as a new creation. knowing what he has made you, all that he's placed on the inside of you, all that he has deposited within you, given and received, not being chased after, not being fought over after, but already within. You know what the enemy tries to do, friends? Cause us to walk through this life not knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, not knowing in whose presence we live. God's presence based on his life on the inside of you. Union and relationship. Making us think, Father, imagine that, oh, I've got to try to get it. Not knowing you already got it. There's a difference, friends. Thank you, Lord. How do you see yourself? What's the viewpoint that you have of you as an individual? Let's look at that passage one more time. We're at Romans in chapter 5, right? Verse 17, the latter portion talked about reigning in life. Essentially, verse 18 takes the same point and says we're called resulting in justification of life based on faith in that perfect sacrifice. Look at our position now. Let's look at Romans in chapter 5. Just same page, possibly. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Friends, this is not the peace of God. This is not the same as the peace of God. For example, in Philippians in chapter 4, which surpasses or which transcends all understanding. This is not the peace of God. This is peace with God. There's no enmity. There's no angst. There's no divide between you and the Father of spirits, between you and God. There's no brokenness that hasn't been paid for or remedied by the cross of Jesus Christ. You're back at one with the Father. You're back in union with him. You're back at one with God, the creator of the universe. Guess what, friends? No longer are we sinners in the hands of an angry God. We're saints in the hands of a loving and good Father who paid the price to bring us in union, bring us in oneness with himself. So that sounded plural, right? You are not a sinner in the hands of an angry God. What's the view that you have of yourself? These are some of the things that cause us to, instead of drawing close to God, drawing closer to God in the place of relationship, we find ourselves doing what? Backtracking sometimes, or sometimes being what? Just aloof. Doing life. Living life. Chasing after the things that we think will fulfill us or satisfy us. And this isn't to be condemning, friends, because till tomorrow, guess what? And that's part of the viewpoint I'm talking about, perspective I'm talking about. There's therefore now no what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What's the view that you have of yourself in relationship with the Father? Are you drawing closer to him in the place of intimacy? Or are you allowing other things to come in between? Does your heart beat for other things more than it beats for the Lord, more than it beats for God in this pursuit of intimacy? Something else drive you, motivate you. What are you passionate about? You passionate about him, for him, for things of him. Or things that you feel are just great and awesome for you. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what, friends? He would not have it any other way. You're justified. Did you hear me say that? You're justified. From the originals, that means adjudged not guilty. Does guilt and shame somehow, some way, sometimes try to tend to draw you away from that place of closeness with him. You're justified, a judge not guilty. Just as if you never sinned. We saw that last week. Who was here last week? A couple of weeks ago. When concerning forgiveness as well. Or the remission of sins. Forgiven and pardoned just as if you never committed any of those. Now he did that. Not, you didn't do that. For by grace are we saved through faith. Are you saved through faith? That not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. Are you embracing this gift? Perspective, friends, viewpoint. Can we see verse 2? Romans in chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access. This access is not something that can be lost, friends. I'm here to share that this morning. This access, by the nature of it, by divine purpose of it, is permanent. What are you doing with your access to the Father? Is this something taken for granted? Is this something maximally utilized? Are we deriving benefits in our lives and in our walk with him in this area? He loves you and he's called you into loving relationship with him. And the call is for us, for me, for you, for us, to have our hearts and our minds fixed on him. In reverence, yes. In fellowship, yes. In the place of the word, yes. In the place of prayer, yes. In the place of worship, yes. Passionately, yes. With zeal, zest, and vitality, yes. Not allowing anything else to rub you, rub us, of the riches to which we've been called. Having his perspective, having his heart on life. It's before his face, friends. It's before his face. I was saying earlier, the enemy tries to rub us. He throws the world at us. He throws the world at us. Trappings. Lights. Someone said cameras, action. Well, gadgets. All of it. And that's why God's word says in 1 John 2:15, he says, in this matter, he says, love not the world. Love not the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is not of the Father, is what? It's of this world. Is your heart beating for the things of the Father or for the things of this world? And I'm saying that when you get God's perspective concerning what he's done in your life, what he's placed on the inside of you, his life and his nature, when you understand his heart towards you, which his love, for example, towards you, which is unconditional, then you won't allow the enemy have an inroad as far as, okay, the trappings of this world or feelings of shame, of guilt. Where's the worship team leader? Thank you. That was powerful this morning. Praise God, one spirit. Guilt, shame, fear, trepidation, condemnation. None of that stuff will hinder you from enjoying what he's called you to. Praise God. Guess what? I want us to hear Jesus. So the Bible is in John in chapter 10. Let's hear Jesus. John 10, we're looking at verse 27. John 10:27. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. How secure are you? How safe are you in the hands of a loving Father? He's not just God who's out there, distant. He's not just out there angry and mad. No, fault of view. Mind reset, mind change. He loves you. And desires intimacy. Because he wants to see you flourish. Because his thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil at any time. How can we gain this perspective? How can we gain this mindset? Romans 12:2 talks about renewing of the mind. Romans in chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, it says, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Friends, that's the word to prove in practice and experience. That is in your walk, in experience, here, right now, in this lifetime, in your walk, in your relationship with God, you can actually see all those benefits. You can see yourself flourish in that. These are not just concepts, as I said, on the pages of the book or that get thrown at us on a daily basis. You can actually walk in the reality of the forgiven. You can actually walk in the reality of the delivered. You can actually walk in the reality of the healed. You can actually walk in the reality of walking in divine health. You can actually walk in the reality of one who is protected. You can actually walk in the reality of the one who is fully prospered. You can actually walk in the reality of the one who's been set free. Chains broken. Bonds done away with. How do you see yourself? Mind shift. Getting God's perspective. It's by the word. The version says, and be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your soul, that you may experience what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. That is his finished work. That's from the Jubilee version. It's about experiencing it. What's the use if we can't live it now? He loved you so much, he made provision, he gave it to you to enjoy now. The done reality to be enjoyed now. Yes. And amen. Hallelujah. It's about allowing God's word, friends, to shape our mindset. So it's not just in the thinking. When you renew the mind, it's not just the thoughts that we think or how we process things. It's also the way. It's also the mode. It's also your mindset. When something happens, for example, this morning on the way here, or in different situations, circumstances, maybe an infirmity or an ailment tries to come or something. It's the way that your mindset is, so that it's guarded, so that it's God's word holds sway, rules your thinking, the process, your belief system, so that it's anchored, so that the parameters of your thinking his heart, your thinking God's heart, your thinking God's word, your thinking all that he has done and where he's placed you. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ, far above all principalities and powers. These are realities, friends, to which we've been called, that are to be experienced here and now. It takes a giving over of your heart, a giving over of your mind, my heart, my mind, over to God, in the place of relationship, in the place of intimacy. It may sound simplistic, friends, but I'm telling you, a walk in this direction makes a difference, and you get to see your life change. Literally. One last scripture, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verses 9 through 16. But for the purpose of this message, I won't take all of that, but here's the point, friends. How can a young man cleanse his ways? Man, universal, so includes man, woman, boy, girl. How can a young individual cleanse his way? By taking what? Heed according to what? God's word. With my whole heart, I have what? Sought you. As we're in reckless abandon, no holding back. You're seeking him with your whole heart. Being passionate about this. And on. Not wondering. And so when we see commandments, when we see precepts and all of that, it hops on God's word. And we can just take the whole passage, those few verses, 9 through 16. And see that there's a call there. In this place of union, intimacy, relationship, to meditate on God's word. To meditate on that which he has fully accomplished. For you and in you. To contemplate, another word says there, to contemplate the fullness that you have in him. And give yourself over in this way. And see change in your life. See change in your walk. Can I have the prayer team members? To live the victorious life, friends, here, you have to believe the truth of what the word says about you already. What the word says about you already, you have to take that, believe that, accept that, recognize it, have that as yours. That's your reality. It's God's word. Thank you, Jesus. It's not just I'm just giving myself over to the word. Just, well, they say, study the word, get in the word, meditate the word. I'm getting lost. I'm getting lost in time with him. With zeal, with zest, with passion. Having God's word said in my heart. In a good way, because sometimes we see that word as a negative. It's impinged there. It's imprinted there. It's settled there. The power of his presence. The beauty of it. Yours to enjoy. Yours to take advantage of. I promise, friends, your lives won't be the same. Your life will never remain the same. Don't let anything hinder that. Don't let anything priority. God first. It's not just a mantra, but have that as lifestyle. Amen. Let's all rise this evening. Let's all rise. If you're here this afternoon and you have fought, this is specific now, you fought thoughts of condemnation for so long. Feels like you're in a hole. It felt like you're in a hole. Sometimes just when you think you've broken free, you get bound one more time. And just that place, you know the place. I'd like for you to just come forward this afternoon. Don't leave with that this afternoon. I'd like for you to join up with one of these prayer team members. Full of faith and power, and they'll minister life to you in this area. You're here, you have a need. That's concerns. Healing and health. But for you also by faith, boldly come come forward, receive ministry, and I guarantee you don't leave this place the same way you came. You're here, you don't know Jesus. The intimacy of which we speak, the union of which we speak, you don't know much about it, you don't know anything about it. Today's your day. Come forward real quickly as well. If you have any need whatsoever, it's your time. Father, I thank you for the hearts of every individual here present. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for release of power. Thank you, Father, for the acknowledgement that we're free indeed and we're richly blessed by that one perfect sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for having our hearts turned to you, tuned to you, and causing us to just flourish in every area and every aspect of life, walking victoriously, because that's what you called us to. Love you, Lord. Say thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Your week is blessed. You are blessed. Have a glorious one. See you next week. Thank you.